T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Marloni, Fourier, and Mega. We're live from our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio before tonight's Red Sox home game, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford Trucks, official truck of the Red Sox. We're going to turn now to Patriots. Big start to the week down at training camp.
A good start, I've heard. A great start to the week.
I will say this. Andrew Callahan just tweeted this out. Said that it looked like the best practice today.
Whoa, look at that.
The best practice for the offense since stage 2 or 3.
Were they in pads? Because we didn't get to watch it because they didn't want to get wet.
I believe they were. I don't think they went as hard as yesterday, which sounded like a really tough day for the offense, which we're going to get to in a second.
Maybe the defense took it easy on them.
They were doing a little bit better today, even though two players got thrown out of camp.
Well, there you go.
Fantastic.
Fighting is key to shifting the mood of practice. And it must have been because of David Andrews' unbelievable post-game prep talk.
Okay, so let's start there.
Because those always work, right?
We ended yesterday's show talking about the updates that were coming out in real time with practice, because practice started at 4 yesterday, probably due to the
way it should have started today, but okay.
Right. Well, it was pouring rain, so I don't think they wanted to do that. Actually, it's 3 o'clock. They could have gotten it in.
Easily could have.
It rained for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Okay, anyway, so it was a horrible practice by all accounts. Every beat reporter down there tweeted out Mike Reese from ESPN, Tommy Curran, Phil Pear, everybody had it out there. It was like the ultimate low point, the rock bottom so far for the Patriots offense. Then after camp wrapped up, apparently according to Evan Lazar, who's now with Patriots.com, he wrote, David Andrews led an offense-only huddle after practice. Lasted a while. Andrews seemed fired up. Hashtag Patriots. So do you put this in the category of
team meeting?
Players only meeting.
Christian, is that a team meeting?
Yeah, it is a team meeting.
Uh-oh.
Yes, 100%. Although, I guess maybe the Celtics prove to us that it does work, because they had a team meeting, maybe it wasn't a team meeting. Maybe it wasn't. But anyway.
Well, they laughed at us when they called it
a team meeting. Yeah, but I guess
they don't want credit for the team meeting.
They said it was just a dinner.
Yeah.
We were just talking about our plans for the week and after the games, we have the day off. No, this only happens when it becomes extremely obvious to the people who know what it's supposed to look like, like something is majorly off, and if we don't fix it now, it's just gonna snowball into something worse. So David Andrews, being the captain that he is, being the guy that knows how the offense should work and how easy it is, like, doesn't understand why they're getting their ass kicked on a regular basis.
Is it still easy though? Isn't it what we've seen a lot of this in camp so far, even new to a guy like David Andrews? This is kind of the thing that kind of bothers you. It's like, at what point did we need this drastic change? At what point did you need to have a guy like David Andrews all of a sudden learn something new? Your veteran who's going to lead an offensive line, without that offensive line coach, but you got your leader in David Andrews, but now he is busy trying to learn something new as well. It seemed like a complete mess. Yesterday. I know today it sounds like it was better.
Yeah. So
that was a mess.
Yesterday after practice, Doug Kye tweeted, not sensing much panic within the Patriots organization about the offensive issues in training camp. Some frustration and acknowledgement of struggles, but no serious alarm. We're going to talk to Mike Giardi from NFL Network in about 15 minutes. He said a better day for the Patriots offense today, arguably their best of camp. Nothing crazy, but it looked like more of a fluid operation, less errors. Meanwhile, Greg Bedard comes in and says, well, there were no all-out competitive periods today.
Well, there you go.
But the offense looked competent.
Let me ask you, anybody dabble in the stock market?
Yeah.
You know, big stock market guy.
Scares me.
Yeah.
I just put in my 401k.
Yeah. So there are certain guys that will sit there and monitor their portfolio every single day. They'll look at their stocks and the ups and the downs, and they'll freak out. And based on how it performs, they freak out.
It's like how you were with Jason Tatum when we were following the playoffs. Every day you were up and down with him.
No, different analogy. Save that for basketball season. But my point is, if you sit there and you, like you people are doing with camp, and you, you know, overanalyze every single practice, like, you will lose your mind. You will lose your mind. Just like if you follow the stock market and instead of like looking at your year-end review and saying, okay, this is how overall it performed. Of course, there were peaks and valleys, but overall, hey, I feel pretty good about the way we performed. Is that the way people are kind of looking at the Patriots right now? Like overanalyzing every single practice? Like, I feel like, you know, you have two different people that you just talked about. Mm-hmm. One guy says one thing. The other guy says, well, you know, not really because it wasn't really competitive. So you're looking at it wrong. So he gives you the wrong analysis.
Problem is like the stock isn't like Apple. It's like a small dollar stock, and you like can go either way, and I could lose all my money in one day. Like, I'm just saying, like, this team, it's funny. When you go into the year, and it's like all this talk in the offseason about year two, new offensive coordinator, it's like no one's worried about Mac because, idiots, it's still going to be Bill's offense. Idiots. You know, it's the same thing. He's got under control. It's year two. Mac's got a better understanding of it. And then they change it. So it's not Bill's offense anymore. It's not even year two Mac Jones understanding this offense better. It's giving him a new offense. Second year in the league. You know what I mean? So there's like there's some questions about talent. To me, I think the whole approach is questionable. I think it's fair. Like, why was the change? Like, what was the need? You had a quarterback that seemed to grasp it.
Streamline.
Offense wasn't a problem last year. I mean, you know, you could argue that they weren't great. A lot of new free agents, rookie quarterback, you expected to be better. Tyler.
Is the answer because one of the head coaches that now just left, Josh McDaniels, knows every single play and can easily defend against this? Obviously, they're not on the schedule until the preseason, but...
No.
I don't care about a preseason.
One coach?
But you change the offense because there's another head coach who knows every single play and has coached it for 10-plus years.
No, everybody leaves. Brian Flores knew it, too.
Who was the last?
Brian Daboll, all those guys, Matt Patricia, all of them know.
I mean, Flores knew it as well as McDaniels did?
I think for the most part, yeah, you know their tendencies. You know, he's been here. Brian Flores had been here since I was here.
I also don't think
he knew everything.
Oh, maybe Bill got tired of
Daniel's offense was also not like
secret. This has nothing to do with hiding anything from anybody. This has to do with
salaries, hiding salaries.
Well, that's definitely part of it because nobody has a title. That's the salary part. But it's who can, like, if you have a, like, nobody knows how to drive this car. Like it's got a secret ignition. It's real clunky when you go around turns, so you have to like lean to the left instead of the right.
To me, it's like moving with the times, right? Like, this is kind of where the NFL has been going with a lot of teams been doing it. So now Bill's just like, okay, you know, Josh is now gone, so we have an opportunity to kind of stream or whatever, like get with the times.
Isn't it also kind of
what is the times? The zone run game is that
no,
times?
No,
like he's something
no,
he's always wanted to do.
Isn't
that's
it
you've been
something
hearing.
More playing to the strengths where it's. You don't have a quarterback that you can put everything in his hands yet.
You do, though.
Do you? You think you put everything in Mac's hands?
What he did last year? Yes.
I'm not saying he's
advancing
himself, but he's young and still.
No, you know why? Okay, so didn't you think that the Patriots had like a head start based on where their quarterback was, what he went through, what he accomplished?
I would say on the other quarterbacks in his class, most definitely, but not around the league. When you look
at for most rookie
the way that other offenses are running.
Well, but as a rule, mm-hmm. any team that has a rookie quarterback, I feel like the Patriots, they're ahead of the curve. Like, they're ahead. He went through an entire season and didn't have any, like, a major catastrophe. Yes, he made some boneheaded mistakes, but it wasn't he never had, like, a complete disaster.
He never had
game.
A Zach Wilson game.
No.
He never
threw four interceptions, fumbling the ball. Like, right. It was a nightmare. He never had that. And if he did make a mistake, he was pretty resilient, I would say, as far as his ability to come back after a bad play. Like, what's going on now? Like, the simplest form being communication? What do you mean, communication? Like, how is that such an issue? That should be the least of your worries is communication. You should be physically worried. Hey, this guy, Christian Barmore, is just better than me now. He's got a year under his belt. Now he's kicking my ass. I'm David Andrews, and I'm coming off a shoulder injury, so I'm not necessarily as strong as I was. Like, Trent Brown's missing. You have Isaiah Wynn, guys playing different positions. Some of your guys on the inside are gone. But communication should not be the issue.
So you're referencing what Mac Jones said. Mac Jones said, I believe it was right after practice today, that what they're hammering out right now is communication on the offense. Well, Bill Belichick, he spoke with the media before practice started today. Our buddy Tommy Curran, he got into the line of fire with Bill Belichick here, just trying to figure out, you know, if there's anything behind the offensive struggles that they saw at practice yesterday. Here's Curran first asking about a common denominator that might be in all of the offenses.
Is there one common denominator that you see to the difficulties the offense is having being productive in 11-on-11s?
No.
Right. That's it? Yeah,
that's, thanks,
that's
Bill.
That's it, he just ended
it?
No, so Curran follows up again. Here we go.
Because we sit here and cast about, well, it's the scheme, it's the offensive line, it's this. So any insight that you could lend to help us be a little bit more educated would be great. But it's...
Yeah, there's good things and bad things on every play. So some of the good plays that we had on defense were really not good plays if something else would have happened on the play. Some of the bad plays we have on defense, a lot of times everything's right but one thing, or same thing on offense, everything's good but one thing's wrong, so go back and fix that.
Isn't that one thing kind of important? If one thing goes wrong,
we don't know
the
what the one
falls
thing is
apart.
we don't know what the one thing is though.
Okay,
you know, like,
so
he said it before, like you know, one offensive lineman doesn't do what he's supposed to do, the play gets blown up. Well, the other 10 guys did their job, so let's fix the other guy, right? So we don't know what the one thing is, but it seems like it's more of a big picture issue.
Yeah, but isn't
wait,
it?
Wait. Just, I want to get one current in here.
Let me just comment on his real quick, because this one thing is, if you have one thing that goes on, if you have 10 plays and one person messes up on one play, fine, you can live with it. But if you have 10 plays on every single play, one guy out of the 11 screws up, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of
10 bad plays.
That's 10 bad plays because of 10 bad players.
Mm-hmm. Which is what it sounds like they saw yesterday. So here's Curran with his final question here.
Is there a component that maybe we're overlooking, that the defense is playing its ass off a little bit as we sit here and chart plays that offensively aren't going great?
Yeah. Well, again, if you look at the result of the play, I mean, that's one thing. If you look at the 22 components of the play, 11 on each side, that's a totally different breakdown. So there's an element of both, but if you don't get the eleven things right, eventually you're gonna have problems. So might look good on a particular play out here, might look bad if something different had happened on the play, if the quarterback had thrown to somebody else, or if the right block had been made properly, you know, it would have been a bad play for the defense, or vice versa for the offense. So kind of look at everything. I know you're very results oriented, I get that, but it's more than just the result of the play, it's what all 22 people are doing. The punt protection, you know, 10 guys are good, one guy's bad, you got a bad play. Doesn't mean the other 10 are bad. But you don't fix that one guy, then it is bad. So I get it. But, I mean, we're not going to get into a play-by-play evaluation out here. I mean, that's just not what camp's for.
That's not what camp's for. It's not about results. It's about the individual guy. We're not talking about team chemistry yet. We're not talking about punt protection. I know you guys are all really worried about punt protection. That's not what they're asking about. They're asking about why the offense blew yesterday. Curran even throws him a bone. He says, is it because the defense did something so good that we're not seeing?
The defense is just so good. They're just whooping on you guys, right,
like,
Bill?
Bill is throwing him a bone to play around with. No.
Reasons why it might just
I know you guys are results-oriented.
We don't. I know you're very results-oriented. I get that, but it's more than just the result of the play. It's what all 22 people are doing.
We don't do play-by-play analysis here at camp.
Well, I tell you what, he can bob and weave with the best.
Oh my God! Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just kind of twisted. And because I want to say, was this ever? Would he say this last year?
About 10 years ago,
like five years ago.
Would he say this ever?
He's never been in this position before.
No, if things aren't running well, you know, I doubt you would ever say, you know, well, whatever. You just look at the results. I'm looking at this. Because the results were always good. So when the results were always good, I guarantee you flip it back and say, well, you know, what'd you think of the result? We won, didn't we? I mean, how many games have we won? You know, and he changes the narrative left and right kind of to help his situation, whatever situation he's in, just try to explain some things. But Curran was actually trying to throw him a bone, trying to give him a little life vest. Because your defense has been great, right? Like, it's,
no, that's not what it is.
No.
Defense is playing its ass off a little bit.
No,
and he says, "Okay, there's 22 parts on the field. Like, yes, we get that. I understand
and you can
that
see
you
it
may
on
be
the all 22.
You may be more focused on the offensive line here during this what you're running here, or you might be focused on working on the run game or something. So it doesn't really matter how this guy looks. But when the whole thing looks bad over and over and over again, can you give any explanation to?
No.
Oh, we're working on this right now.
No. No. Let me think about it. No.
No.
Nope.
Isn't there a sense you're sort of like, and it's probably, to be honest with you, I'm sure it is true, that you guys don't know what you're looking at.
He knows way you don't more know what than you're, anybody asking
you
questions.
You don't know what
he
you're
does,
looking
okay?
for. You know, like, I know what I need out of certain guys. Some guys are doing it. Maybe one person isn't. The play gets blown up, and now the whole scheme is screwed up. You know, but it does, it has. And I know today was better, but it seems like it starts at the offensive line. Anytime it's an 11-on-11, the offensive line is a mess. There's no protection. There's no holes to run in. Mac is being rushed. Like, there's nothing going on the minute the offensive line jumps in. 7-on-7, people said it looks good. But the minute the offensive line jumps in here.
What do you see? You see sack. You see run stuff.
It ain't
run
working.
Stuff. Sack. Yeah, occasionally you see a pass breakup. So I guess maybe the corners are stepping up or something, according to, you know, if you're trying to throw a bone to Bill. But it's like, I think that's kind of what he's dancing around there. Just very early on. You know, they have a preseason game coming up on Thursday. Apparently, Mike Reese, by the way, said unlikely he thinks that Mac Jones is going to appear in that preseason game. But we haven't even gotten to what happened at camp today, which was a big fight between David Andrews and Christian Barmore. We have Mike Giardi from NFL Network coming on in just about 5 minutes. So we definitely have to ask him about how that scuffle happened and what things are like down at Foxborough since what sounded like a very tough practice for the offense yesterday. But first, we have the trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Tony Fourier and Mega. We're going to be joined by Mike Giardi of NFL Network shortly, just waiting to get him on the line. But one of the things we have to ask him about is, I think this is our first training camp fight this offseason. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say nobody's more strict about fights during camp than Bill is. Nobody's like, if Bill says, hey, I'm going to throw you out if you even hint about fighting, then it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how important you are, he's going to throw you out.
So he never, yeah, he throws you out of practice.
Yeah.
I just find it interesting that, like, you know, the offensive line has been struggling. The team captain holds an offensive meeting. And the next day, the team captain gets into a fight with a defensive player and gets thrown out.
So here's what happened.
Is that a message?
According to Andrew Callahan, David Andrews and Christian Barmore got to the ground in a post-play scrap during 11-on-11s. Got to the ground. The teammates swarmed, and they were quickly broken up. Then they both got tossed out of practice.
So here's what saying. Do you think that it was scheduled fight?
Staged?
Not staged, but it was like Andrews is like, okay, this offense is a joke. Our offensive line has been a joke. He has a meeting. He's all pissed off.
I'm going to show him how to do it.
I'm just saying, then the next day, it could just be frustration. You take it out on the defensive player, young kid, Barmore. Or it's like, I've had enough. And is that his way of leading? I have no idea.
I think it's more of that, more frustration. I just spoke yesterday. I got to be the example. I got to lead by example. I'm going to play as hard as possible. Barmore doesn't like it.
He gets tossed, and they have arguably, their best offensive performance so far.
Yeah. Football fights are the dumbest thing in the world. Yeah. Everybody's got pads on, gloves on, shields on. You're not doing any damage.
How about this? The whole offense and defense jumped in, including Mac Jones.
Oh, sure.
Who got pulled out of the scuffle by Nelson Agholor. Well, Mike Giardi from NFL Network.
Barking.
He joins us on the 1 hotline right now. We're barking. That means Mike Giardi's with us. So, Mike, I got to ask you, do you have any further knowledge? We haven't checked in yet on Twitter or anything about what started this scuffle between David Andrews and Christian Barmore at training camp today.
No, we didn't get any revelations into what happened, Mego. I would say the one thing is, you know, Barmore has been a disruptor all of camp. And you have to wonder at times, because they seem to be varying the tempo here. Are we going 100? Are we going 80? Are we like, and I wonder if maybe David said, you know what, we're not supposed to be going as hard as you're going, and I've had about enough of it. So here, take that.
Mm.
I like it.
I like the angle of the fact that Barmore is just kicking everybody's butt, and like, and it's like the frustration is mounting. I feel like that's more the truth. Because listen, as a defensive line, offensive line, you know when it's real and when it's not real, right? I mean, you know when it's thud and you know when it's serious. Everybody's taking notes about this physical like competition that we're about to get into, right?
For sure. And I would say, too, you know, David spoke up after practice yesterday to his team, you know, to the offense. And it was such a stark contrast because you had the offense all together with David in the middle and heads are down and it's quiet. And then literally right next to him is the defensive huddle. I'm talking about the entire defense. And they're yucking it up like having the greatest time ever. And then, you know, David comes over and talks to us and, you know, didn't want to be there, was, you know, respectful, but like he didn't want to have to talk about the fact that they just got their butts kicked again. And I think that was a clear message, like, we're getting worked and we've been getting worked and this isn't good enough. I asked Brian Hoyer sort of about the whole thing that was going on. And he just said, like, look, you're, there's no way you can come in after our practice like yesterday and feel good about yourself. And you have to look at your teammate in the eye and say, it's not going to be like this again. We have to go look at the tape and we have to get better. And at least today, Christian, it looked more like an offense that had a clue versus what it's looked like the last 10 days where it's been disjointed and at times just awful.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, Mike. Is that something where, does that mean they're starting to figure it out or were things dialed back? You know, did they change some things, maybe go back to some old ways?
I mean, I thought we saw some of the zone, you know, the inside and the outside zone stuff that they've been trying to work on. I think we saw some of those things hit today. But it's hard to know. Like, so it's been 10 days of not good offense. I mean, legitimately not good offense. And now you have one day where you look confident. Are they getting it? I mean, that's got to be your hope, right? Is that they're starting to build some confidence. But I think it's going to take a hell of a lot more than just one day to feel good about the changes that they've made and the direction they're headed in.
All right, so here's the question. I mean, you had year two quarterback. Everyone's talking about better understanding of the system, all this stuff. Year two free agents, better understanding the system. Why change?
It's a great question, and I don't really have a good answer. I've tended to lean towards the fact that this offense isn't easy. The offense that they've run for all these years isn't easy to coach, although, you know, Christian, I know, fights back on some of the playbook stuff. But, you know, like when we initially heard of the changes, you know, what were the words they were using? Well, the verbiage, because, you know, they just basically kept tacking stuff on when Brady was the quarterback, and it just got lengthy, and that eliminates – or that creates more time in the huddle, which then creates more time where you're standing over the line of scrimmage trying to figure out how many different of the option routes do I have to run here? If he does this, do I do that? And so that's where I kind of was. Well, if they just tighten things up a little bit, they're getting out there, they're able to look at the defense a little longer, and the receivers have less choices to make. You know, instead of eight options, you have four or five. Yep. And, yeah, you should be able to play faster. But I just wonder if they looked at the depth of that playbook and how long it had gone on and said, these two guys that were kind of putting it at the head of the offense here, I don't know that they can teach it the way it's been taught. You know, and again, I don't have full confirmation on that. I mean, the people have said that's definitely it, and there are people who have pushed back and said, no, Bill's wanted to go this way for a long time, and this was, you know, the opportunity with Josh leaving to do it. You know, I haven't got a great answer either way on that.
We're talking to Mike Giardi from NFL Network on the Harbor One hotline. So we've been hearing a lot. We heard from Mac today about, I know you were down there, about the struggles with communication. You talk about verbiage there. We're a couple weeks into training camp now. I think there's been, what, five or six practices with pads on. When we talk about what's happening with this offense and the struggle that they're having implementing this new offense, how worried should Patriots fans be by where the offense is and their performance so far in this whole process?
I don't think you can feel good about where they're at, but I would say if you're still in this place next week after the joint practices with Carolina and it still looks like this, then maybe it's, you know, if you're everything's fine, Bill and Bill we trust, it's all going to work out, then maybe that's the point where you say, huh, what are we doing here? And why, to, you know, the previous point about, like, why in – after a good, solid year one with your rookie quarterback, why are we making all these changes? Why does that make any sense? I think then maybe, you know, after that next week, if it's like this, you say, this might be time to pull the plug on this and go back to what you did before or some form of what you did before. I don't know. I mean, Bill even talked about it yesterday a little bit about, like, yeah, look, you have to weigh everything. You know, when is the time to keep pushing forward with something if it's working? And he was just talking in generalities. And when's the time to say, you know what, this isn't productive. Let's get the hell away from it. And I'm, so, you know, I don't know when that line is, but for me, that line would be, if it still looks bad after next week, after joint practices with Carolina, that's maybe I would think to myself, I don't know that we should keep going in this direction.
All right, so we're talking to Mike Giardi, NFL football expert from the NFL Network. How about that intro? So wait, so tell me real beautiful. Quickly, though, before I ask you the question, where what other teams have you seen?
I've seen the Bills a couple times. I've seen the Giants, and I've seen the Ravens.
Okay, so you've seen three different teams, and obviously you've been around locally here with the Pats. So where would you kind of – where would the – in comparison to those other teams, where do the Pats kind of land?
They, of the teams I've seen, they would be a distant third. And I would say the reason they would be above the Giants – I don't think the Giants are going to be very good, let's just be frank. The reason they're above the Giants, though – is because I think the Patriots' defense has at least looked good here in 11 days, and I don't know if they are good. I think I had more questions coming into the season about the personnel in the defense than I did in the offense, and obviously here in these first 2 weeks, it's been unfounded, at least because maybe of the competition they're playing and what they're trying to do on offense.
Okay, so you're raking a team like the Giants, who suck, and they got a brand new coach and a quarterback they may not even know is worth anything. They may have wasted that pick, and you're comparing it to two perennial, consistent playoff teams, and the Bills and the Ravens, which I think most Patriot fans think that okay, they're part of that group. What I'm hearing is that that's a distant third, and only because we're comparing them to the Giants. Is that true?
Yeah, I think that's fair for now. I mean, I'll say this. The one thing that if I'm a Ravens fan that would worry me is they don't have a lot of depth, especially up front on the defensive side. So, one of those pieces goes. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what lever they can pull there. And it's a new defensive coordinator. Wink is with Dable and with the Giants, and it's Mike McDonald who was kind of grew up in their system but was the D.C. at Michigan under the other Harbaugh. So I'm curious to see how that plays. But, yeah, from a talent perspective, I think there's a gap. And certainly there's a much bigger gap with the team atop the AFC East and the Bills. That roster is stacked, dude. I mean, it's like that they're going to, we used to, for all those years, you'd be like, I don't know how they're going to cut this guy. Like, they've got all these hard decisions to make at the bottom of the roster. That's the Bills right now. There are five or six guys that they're going to cut that they're going to end up somewhere else, and they're going to end up doing something somewhere else because of talent they have there. They're just not good enough to beat those guys out.
Mike, you had some interesting tweets over the weekend talking about Mac Jones and how he looked, comparing him to his rookie year. He's holding on to the ball more. I think maybe you talked to Andy Hart over the weekend, and I think the name, a lot of Tim Tebow-type plays, which makes a lot of people nervous. I'm guessing he looked a little bit better today, but you tell me what you've seen from him.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously there's no comparison. I mean, Mac can actually throw the football, and Tim couldn't. But the point being, sort of what I was trying to hammer home is, it's been a lot of plays here in camp where he's had to tuck in and run. And there is no, when you're doing 7-on-7 and you're tucking in and running, that's just not supposed to happen. And that's what Tebow would do here. And I would say I've seen more of that, or just eating the ball and taking the sack in 11-on-11s than at any point last year. If you add up all the training camp practices last year, all the time we got to watch all the practices, he's already exceeded the number of times he's had to either eat it or run. And I think that's, again, sort of telling about where the offense is in their progression. I don't think he looks very comfortable. He looked more, like I said, he looked more comfortable today. The ball came out with a little bit more decisiveness. It was a little quicker. But I think in general, he's not necessarily either seeing it the way they want it seen, or it's not happening in front of him the way it's supposed to happen. And therefore, whether it's the offensive line or guys separating, guys aren't getting open. And it's like, okay, well, I'll just tuck it and run, or okay, I'll just eat it again, we'll do the next play, I mean, there's been more frustration with him from a team standpoint this year, I think, too, throwing the arms out. He would yell at himself last year when he threw an interception, he'd smack himself in the leg. That was his thing last year. He beat on his leg after a bad play. There's been a lot of, throwing his arms up, what the hell's happening? And again, it's just, I think, speaks to the frustration level. And to kind of circle it back to Hoyer again, because we talked to him today, he said, when do you know when to approach Mac and when not? And he's like, well, I kind of treat him like one of my kids. Sometimes
I'm sure he loves that.
Sometimes you put, Well, but I mean, the analogy was a good one. Sometimes you put your arm around your kid and you talk them through what went wrong. And then sometimes you just say,
spank him.
Figure it out. You'll just let him figure it out. So he said, like, I've been around Mac long enough to know when I have to go to him and be like, dude, you know, take a deep breath, or when I have to just say, he's got this, he'll figure it out.
Why don't they just hire Hoyer as the official quarterback coach and just be done with it already? I feel like that's on its way anyways. What are we doing here? Just like Joe Judge really going to be the guy?
How about we transition into Brian Hoyer as the offensive coordinator?
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, no, but he'll never get the title, though, because titles aren't important.
This is true. We scoff at titles down there. But, no, I he's been in a bunch of different systems. He's been in the Shanahan system, which is part of what you're seeing incorporated here. Like, he's played at a lot of places, and he's been in a lot of different situations. So, I mean, I don't know if that's something he wants to do, but, I mean, he's clearly a valuable resource for Mac, especially with all that's going on around him right now.
Mike Giardi, he has wonderful coverage, as you heard there, from a couple different training camps and where he sees the Patriots lined up. Not the rosiest picture, but maybe a little bit better down there today.
I think he just gave us hope.
Mike Giardi from NFL Network, thank you so much for joining us, Mike.
I am a giver of hope. That's what I am, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Later.
Always thought that about you.
How about that? How about Mac getting a little bit frustrated maybe
good.
With what's going on in the offense? Not just – that's the thing. Last year –
here comes John McEnroe.
We'd see him, you know, pounding the ground, punching the ground, throwing his helmet, getting mad at himself for screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's starting to throw his hands up, according to Mike Giardi, look around and say, what the hell are these guys doing?
What they used to call him – remember we talked to him that when he was
McEnroe.
A kid? McEnroe. You know, because he was having
a tennis brat.
Yeah,
he'd have
tennis
a temper
brat.
Tantrum.
Yeah, he would act out because, God forbid, the ump said out.
I didn't get the call.
He didn't get the call.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it an ump for tennis?
Ref.
Is it ref?
I don't know. Side judge.
Line judge.
Whoever it is.
That frustration, the whole last year, he's right. Oh, shucks, man, I threw an interception. I got to know better. This year, he believes he shouldn't be making these stupid mistakes. It shouldn't be this difficult. He should be more advanced. He should be more prepared, that he's regressing. That's what I'm seeing.
See, I still go back to the biggest question, and like Mike said, no matter who he talks to, he can't really get a direct answer, is the why.
Why did they change this offense?
Why? And I, you know, you've heard that people reported that Bill has longed to kind of change it up. And, you know, even though Tom was gone, you know, Josh was still here, and it was this offense, and they might have simplified Josh's offense a little bit, right, for Cam, obviously, and for Mac. But it's like now that he's gone, this is something he's always done. But the flip side of that, like you mentioned, it's like that offense is probably too complicated for any of the coaches coming in. So we simplify an offense. We streamline it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe more college kids are doing this offense coming out of college, simplifying the route running rather than a complicated one that Brady maybe asked of you. And it's maybe it's the future. You know, these kids in college are coming in. This is the type of offense they want to run, the route running they want to run. So let's do it now. It's just the timing of it is a little strange because it's just year two for this quarterback. And I don't want them to be wasting time or wasting 5, 6, 8 weeks of a season in year two of Mac Jones as they try to kind of implement this and move forward.
All right. Well, we got to take a quick break. I want to continue this on the other side. Patriots talk, what Bill Belichick said about Mac Jones today. Heard from Mike Giardi there that Mac's expressing a little bit of frustration at how the offense is running right now, which, by the way, doesn't sound like it's running very well. And also, there may be a free agent out there on the market, a linebacker that could come in handy for your defense should the Patriots go out and get him. We'll do that on the other side.
Now back to Maloney, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
We just talked to Mike Giardi from NFL Network. If you missed that, check it out on the Odyssey app. Giving us the latest updates from Patriots training camp where the offense has been struggling to implement a new system. I think we can call it that now because Mac Jones talked again today and he said he doubled down saying that it's new. And by the way, echoed something that Bill Belichick said that we talked about a couple minutes ago, that it's not all about results, guys. it's not all a results-oriented business right now in training camp. Do we have that clip from Mac by any chance?
What kind of senior frustration you've experienced and expressed can lead to personal growth for you and for the team as a whole? Have you seen positives in that vein?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to figure it out. I always have, and I always will. And at the end of the day, you're going to have your ups and downs with anything new. But I've learned a lot of different systems, and the guys around me have too. And we know what football looks like. We know what a good play looks like and the schematics behind it. It's not just the result. It's the process of how it looks. Run play, hat on a hat, pass protection, hat on a hat. And then the guys getting open, which they've done. It just needs to be more consistent. And we all trust in each other at the end of the day. When I walk on the field and there's 10 people that look into my eyes, I know that they're going to trust me to do the right thing on game day.
Mm. Look me in the eyes and tell me that you love me. Isn't that, it's kind of what it feels like. Look me in the eyes.
Just, I always do.
To me, this is he's flirting with like Chris Sale a little bit.
As far
as like just not that he's never been a hardo. He's never been a hardo, but it's the same old thing over and over again. I get it. Like if this is just him, fine. Okay, I'll apologize later. But like the whole look, I got to look you in the eye. You got to look me in the eye, and we gotta have an understanding and a trust. Like, it's just so just like movie cliche-ish things that it's just the way it is.
Well,
like,
how about the, it's not just about the results.
That's
not just the results. That's,
it is about the results.
No, that is the new line coming out of Foxborough now. We heard it from Bill. Look, Tom, I know you're results oriented. I know that's what you guys do, but it's more than that down here. And then it just right after, you hear almost verbatim the same things. We know what football looks like. It's the schematic.
No, you don't. No,
you don't. It's not just the results, Mac.
No, you don't, Mago. No, you don't.
No, that's what Mac said.
Results-oriented. I get that. But
he said, we know what football looks like. It's not just the results. It's the schematics. It's hat on a hat. It's up and down, ups and downs.
Yeah, and this is what a team says when the results aren't good.
Yes,
like this is
exactly
what, right.
Because this is what they serve you.
If this was what we thought it was going to look like, year two, Mac dropping back, showing. Remember the whole like he's physically bigger, his arm strength. If he was dropping dimes downfield, hitting Aguilar in stride, and Jonnu Smith was like popping off the screen to people, reporters down there, and everything was glorious, and the offense was rolling. You'll bet your ass it's about results and how good they look right now and how good they feel, and that's what they'd be talking about. But it looks like crap. And when it looks like crap, it's not about the results. And it's Bill saying it's not about the results. It's Mac talking about not results. What about the owner? Like, is he a results-driven kind of guy?
He's saying, I don't want to lose a playoff game or not win a playoff game straight. I don't like that.
Ryan, do you have Robert? I think it was back in March, talking about results? Oh, we'll find
out. There are many teams in recent history that have gone into a season without an offensive or defensive coordinator. So what's your confidence level in the assistant coaches on the staff right now?
So you're telling me I don't. I think we have it. I think Bill has a unique way of doing things. It's worked out pretty well up to now. So I know what I don't know, and I try to stay out of the way of things I don't know. I think he's pretty good. I don't know, is it over 40 years of experience doing it? So it doesn't sometimes look straight line to our fans and or to myself, but I'm results oriented.
There you go. That is the exact opposite. Talk
I
about
know,
a disconnect.
Results oriented. I get that.
I mean, listen, I get that like camp is different. You know what I mean? Like, camp is about the process. Like, I just think even like in spring training, it's like, dude, he's just working on his curveball. He got smoked, but it's not about the results. It's about working on things. But it's still like what you're seeing right now from this offense, it's extremely ugly. So, Bill can downplay and be like, you don't know what you're looking at. But at the same point, eventually, is it about results right now? No. Is it about results on Thursday? No. I mean, if they look like crap on Thursday, whatever. It's still camp. But eventually it's going to come down to the results. And if they can't figure this thing out, if you got Mac Jones, like, I'll figure it out. I always do. That's him admitting that right now he hasn't figured it out.
So can we just...
Right?
Can
That's
we
what
just,
he's admitting right now. He hasn't figured it out, but he will. Don't worry about it.
So if I was ripping the Red Sox for with the way they look in the second week of camp or spring training...
I'd laugh at you.
You would laugh at me, right?
Yeah.
Is it the same? Why isn't it the same then? Why wouldn't it be considered... Why can't you consider the same... Like, kind of have the same perspective and, you know, opinion of the Red Sox in week two, you know, as same as you would
say
with the Patriots week two.
Baseball, there's not really like a new scheme. It's not like, hey, we're going to have all of our right-handed pitchers throw lefty this year.
That would be interesting.
You know what I mean? Then I'd be like, then I'm concerned. Or all our relievers are going to be starters and all our starters are going to be relievers or whatever. Like, I know he's hit third for us, but we're going to do sixth. He's going to hit seventh for us because the analytic, whatever. Then you'd be like, okay, see, with this, it was just all thought. Like, year two. Like, Agholor will figure it out. Jonnu Smith, year two. Year two in the offense. Like, year two in the organization. We looked at free agents year two. People tried to sell us that year two free agents will figure it out. They always do in the system. Mac, year two, jump. Another year, he's going to get more comfortable. And then you show up in camp and you find out that, no, it's actually year one for everyone. Not even like the rookies, not even for like the free agents. It's like year one for everyone, including Mac Jones, who's admitting that he hasn't figured it out yet, but he's confident he will.
And Giardi said it in that interview we just had with him where he came in with concerns about the defense. He didn't know that he needed to be so concerned about the offense. I mean, of course, that there were guys like Jonnu Smith and Nelson Agholor.
Everyone felt
that way. Huge question marks. Yeah. We didn't know that they were going to be overhauling the offense. We didn't know when the season ended last year, or even when McDaniels left, that they weren't going to have an offensive coordinator, that it was going to be offensive coordinator by committee, according to the Peter King interview with Mac Jones yesterday or a few days
ago. Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer, offensive coordinator by committee. No communication.
Not results-oriented.
Everything.
All good plays are good plays.
This is, yep. Don't be results-oriented. Like, stop worrying about winning and losing, Lou.
Yeah.
It's all about the journey. That's what losing team, losing coaches talk about. Hey, listen, man, forget about winning and losing. It's all about the trip, man. It's all about the memories, right? Remember that one time when we went out?
What are you guys worried about the loss for? Remember that one drive in the second quarter?
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
We almost scored.
It was great.
Hey, real quick, I want to take your pulse.
You remember that?
Raquan Smith, so former first-round pick with the Bears. He's requested a trade. Mm. He put out this, like three-page
It doesn't work in
the
NFL,
Raquan.
City
of Chicago. He said that... That the Bears have refused to negotiate in good faith. Every step of the journey has been take it or leave it. The deal sent to me is one that would be bad for myself and for the entire linebacker market if I signed it.
Don't take it.
I've been trying to get something done that's fair since April. Anyway, he's being a hero for linebackers throughout the NFL because if he takes this deal, then everyone's going to be underpaid.
Oh, you set the
according
set the,
to him. That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what he's saying. Any interest in this guy as a Patriot?
Yes,
you need talent.
I haven't done the whole 22 research on the Raquan Smith. Raquan Smith?
Raquan? Raquan?
You're thinking of Raquan McMillan,
yeah,
the Patriots linebacker.
Yeah, I'm like, what are we talking about?
Raquan.
Okay. Sure, yes. Okay, fine.
Yes?
I'm good. Yes, sure. Bodies. Yeah, I need bodies.
Oh, you need good football.
I don't know much about him.
I mean,
so
this
I'm not
is
gonna
like, you know.
He's a young guy. He's only 25.
Yeah, you need good football players. He's also looking to... So he's looking to set the market for the linebacking crew.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to come
here?
Yeah,
the Patriots will do that.
You think he's going to come here and set
not
the market?
Chance.
Like Bill's like, you know what? Come to me. I'll set the market. I mean, listen, he's paid for a few guys. Steph Gilmore will give it to him, whatever. But given where they are right now, do you really see this happening?
Not a chance.
It should, because they need talent.
No, they're not going to spend money till next year. Like,
right.
Next offseason is when they're going to spend money again. They're not spending any money right now.
Right, so trade for his final year of his contract, then pay him in the offseason.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Who are you going to give him?
Tyler.
I'm not the guy with the answers. Football expert over here, Christian Fourier.
I don't have a computer. I don't know who he is.
Time for a break.
Yes, trade
all right,
for
him. Big deal, no big deal. Coming up at 420.
Yeah,
surprise.
We have big deal, no big deal at 421. But before that, we got to check in on the Kevin Durant situation because it continues to develop over in Brooklyn. Could he be coming to the Celtics? We'll do that in just a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.